This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Health and Living. I'm Lee Chui Lin. It seems that at this point in time, we all have opinions of our own on whether we're introverted or extroverted. Everyone has an idea of what those traits mean, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're accurate. Now, research has emerged that suggests that extroverts have better immunity. How much of our lives might actually be shaped by our personality? Professor Kavita Vadara, professor of health psychology and one of the researchers who led the study along with Steve Cole of UCLA, explains. Professor Kavita, how is extroversion and introversion defined to begin with?
Okay, so in our study, we used a very widely used questionnaire measure of measuring personality. And according to this measure, personality is made up of five core dimensions. According to this particular measure, an extrovert person would be characterized by high levels of being sociable, really, and a motivation to engage in external social events. Introversion is essentially the opposite of that. So someone who is less inclined towards sociability and much more introverted in their nature and characteristics.
Having said that, I mean, I understand that introversion and shyness are often, you know, confused, or people think that they're the same thing. Are they?
They're not, no. I'm sure you've probably heard of this. There are many people who may, at one level, be perceived as being extrovert, but if you were to ask them, they consider themselves to be quite shy. So it's certainly not the same thing at all.
And you referenced sort of that big five personality traits. What are they and how do they all combine or add up in terms of creating a personality profile?
Right. Okay. So as you can imagine, the sort of study of personality is incredibly long. And most people have tended to think in terms of personality being made up of a cluster of different psychological attributes. So they're your thoughts, your feelings, and behavior. And the key thing about personality is that these are attributes of the individual that we'd expect to be relatively stable across both time and situations, okay? And it's that stability that gives rise to what we might refer to as different personality types or enduring kind of individual differences between people. So with this particular approach, what's happened is decades of analysis measuring these enduring stable traits has led investigators to think in terms of five core dimensions, which may or may not be related to each other, but essentially you have neuroticism, you have which is a tendency towards negative emotional experiences. You have extroversion, which we've already talked about, which is a tendency towards high levels of sociability. You have openness, which reflects a sort of general curiosity and creativity in an individual, agreeableness, which reflects a general wish towards being likable and having a more sort of constant or even temperament, and finally conscientiousness, which reflects a much more sort of cautious and harm-avoidant type of personality. So as an individual, we are made up of all five of these traits. So your personality, if you like, is essentially a combination of how you would score or behave across those five dimensions. And because there are five dimensions and because you can vary within each dimension, that's what gives us the exquisite variability that we see in personality between people.
And when you use words like core and stability, I think it comes down to the sort of fundamental idea about whether or not people can change. But I suppose in this sense, when we say somebody is changing, perhaps what we mean then is that they're experiencing a variance between that five. Would that be fair to say?
I think it could be both of those things. I think that when you see people, well, there's a difference between sort of a change that's transient, that's short-term, that might be brought around by a short-term experience. So say, for example, you might be someone who's very normally even-tempered, but you find yourself in a situation where somebody has caused you to become incredibly angry and you react in that way and you might say, oh, that was very out of character, that was not you know, how that person would normally react. But if that was just a transient change, then I wouldn't say that that would be reflective of a general change in personality. Whereas if you see somebody being, and this would, I think, be much more likely when people are exposed to situations in a much more current, chronic way. So let's say you have things that constantly cause you to lose your temper in your environment, then you might find that someone who is otherwise sort of quite even-tempered suddenly become, not suddenly, but over a long period of time, would become short-tempered. And then you would see a change in their sort of core personality across one domain. It doesn't necessarily mean, though, that the other domains would be affected. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. And how do our personalities shape our world and the spaces in which we move? Because I would imagine that there's a lot of interplay here, right? I mean, our environments would shape us; we would shape our environments.
Yes, absolutely. Well, most biological systems are circular. So what you've said is exactly right. So we would expect our personality to shape our environment, and indeed for our environment to shape our personality. What's impossible to know, certainly in the research that we've done, is which comes first. But maybe it's not so important to know which comes first. What's important to know is that these are bidirectional relationships, so that they are subject to change. So in the work that we've done, we've seen that there is a relationship between extroversion and people's immune functioning. And our hypothesis is that if you're an extroverted, highly social individual, you're much more likely to come into contact with infectious agents as a result of being in contact with many more people. And perhaps not too surprisingly, your immune system seems to be set up to respond appropriately to infectious agents. This is our pro-inflammatory immune response. So that would be an example of potentially the personality influencing the environment. But the reverse is also true. So if you are exposed to lots of pathogens in your environment, then your immune system, your biology, you'd expect to respond to that similarly.
So are we truly wired differently then? I mean, in terms of being extroverted or introverted, are our brains actually wired differently?
So I think there's certainly good evidence that there are relationships, there are associations between measures of personality and how you respond to your environment. What I don't think we necessarily know is whether it actually reflects a kind of different wiring, as you're suggesting, that we actually would see different patterns of activity in the brain. I think what you're seeing there is more to do with an association between how people respond to their environment and how the brain learns to respond to those environmental cues.
And before we move on to the study itself, I'd just like to ask whether, in your opinion, this whole idea of introversion and so on, this method of profiling personality, it's really gained in currency. And do you think that it's helpful in terms of profiling people, especially in terms of careers and types and so on?
I think with all things of this nature, it's important for them to be used appropriately. So psychologists have developed this approach to measuring personality, which gives us a broad brush picture of how individuals behave across these five domains that I've described. Whether or not I would say that it's not necessarily appropriate to then extrapolate from those five broad domains to, you know, deciding whether somebody would be appropriate in a certain role. I think that you probably need to undertake much more rigorous tests of personality than you can get from a simple questionnaire if you want to use it in that way. So I know, for example, that people might do more sort of context-specific tests where they see how people respond in different situations in order to see how they actually behave rather than how they respond to a questionnaire. So I think one needs to be very careful about how one uses measures that purport to tell us about who the person is. They are only as good as the instruments that you've made available. So essentially, these are self-report questionnaires. These are people telling you themselves about how they respond to different situations, how they perceive themselves. There is inevitably going to be a limit on how much you can extrapolate from that to other situations.
I'm speaking today to Professor Kavita Vadara, Professor of Health Psychology and one of the researchers who led a study on immunity and extroverts. Coming up, we find out specifically what that study found on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. You're listening to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. Over the phone with me today is Professor Kavita Vadara, Professor of Health Psychology and one of the researchers who led a study recently looking at the links between personality, or rather extroversion, and immunity. And we're looking at that study now specifically. Could you tell us about that? You know, in the first place, why did it come up? Why was it something that people wanted to research?
Yeah, okay. So one of the things that has been quite well accepted for many years is that our measures of personality capture stable traits within individuals. And so for a long time, people have been interested in whether or not these stable traits have relationships with health. Because one might expect that if you predominantly behave in certain ways, that it might lead to different health outcomes. So for decades now, people have done lots of research looking at associations between measures of personality and either measures of biology or indeed measures of health outcomes, including mortality. But one of the areas that has not been investigated and that Steve Cole and I were quite interested in was that if indeed there is a relationship between personality and health, what's the biological basis for that relationship? Why would such a relationship come about? Now, one of the things that Steve's laboratory does is it's able to undertake an analysis of the patterns of signaling that are undertaken by immune cells. So what we hypothesized was that if there is indeed a relationship between measures of personality and health, then we should see that the immune system, which is, of course, our key biological machinery that determines our health and well-being, that we should see a relationship between how these immune cells signal and these various measures of personality. So that was our hypothesis at the outset.
And for the study itself, how was it conducted?
Okay, so what we did was we recruited a sample of just over 100 healthy volunteers from Nottingham. Most of these individuals were students. And they were asked to complete a questionnaire measure of personality, which is a standard measure. We use the Big Five measure of personality. And they also provided us with a blood sample. And what we did was we obviously identified what their scores were on the personality scale and sent the blood sample over to Steve's lab, where he undertook the genomic analysis on the cells.
So what was the outcome?
So we hypothesized at the beginning that what we might find was a relationship between, we specifically set out to look at two sorts of immune cell signaling. One is the pro-inflammatory response, and what we hypothesized was that that would be upregulated, so much more dominant in extroverts and in people with high levels of openness compared with people who are conscientious. And the reverse we also expected with the second category of gene expression, which is the antibody, antiviral gene expression, which tends to work in the opposite way to the pro-inflammatory gene expression. So what we were expecting was reduced expression of the antiviral antibody genes in our extroverts and our open individuals, but an upregulation of the pro-inflammatory genes in these individuals. What we actually found was no relationship with openness. We also failed to find any relationship with antiviral or antibody gene expression, but what we did see was that extroverted individuals did have an upregulation of pro-inflammatory gene expression. So in other words, what we saw was that individuals who are much more sociable in nature seem to have a biological system that is ready and able to mobilize quickly to respond to infectious agents, as you would find when you're exposed to social situations with lots of different people in them. So it looks like this is quite an adaptive, a healthy immune response to have.
So in that sense, I mean, is that something that would have been adaptive throughout a person's life then? As a person, you know, displays more and more extrovert traits, you know, continuing to meet people, being more social, that's when the immune system kind of kicks in?
Yes, I think that's what we're hypothesizing. Obviously, this was a cross-sectional study, so we only assessed people at one point in time. An obvious next study to do would be to try and get the same people again and to see if we see similar patterns at another point in time. But yes, because we're talking about stable personality traits, we would expect that that's exactly what happens, that individuals are extroverted, they get exposed to pathogens in their environment because of their social demeanor, and this leads to a mobilization of the pro-inflammatory immune response, and that this cycle continues, leading them to be protected against infection because their body is ready and able and has a memory that this is how we need to respond in this context.
So is the outcome good news overall for extroverts then, or does it also come with a downside as well?
Whether or not it's good news, it relates to the extent to which this pro-inflammatory response is short-term. So with any biological response, what you want it to do is you want it to exist for the period that it's required. So if you're exposed to an infection, you would like your body to be able to mobilize a pro-inflammatory response in order to eradicate that infection. But if that pro-inflammatory response was to persist over a longer term, then you could actually become vulnerable to a host of conditions that are associated with increased inflammation. So as a short-term acute response to infection, it's a good thing, but if it were to persist in the longer term, it would not be a good thing. What we can't tell from our data is which of those things are happening. We're assuming, because we use healthy volunteers, that we're seeing a very adaptive biological response here, but we can't really assume that at this point in time.
Research and studies, you know, never exist in a vacuum. You have to work off of the work of others and off of other, you know, scientific theories and hypotheses. At this point in time, what do we know about how the immune system affect our moods and behaviors for sure?
So what we know for sure is that there is a direct relationship between the immune system and our behavior. One very good example of that is sickness behavior. So when you become infected with a pathogen, there will be changes in your immune system, predominantly led by chemical mediators known as cytokines, which are there in order to mobilize various aspects of your immune system to respond to the pathogen. But one of the behavioral consequences of these cytokines is that you get a pattern of behavior that's known as sickness behavior, where you become quite lethargic, less interested in food, all of the behaviors that you might associate with being unwell. And essentially, they are designed to get you to slow down and to take some time out in order to recover so your body can do what it needs to do to eradicate the pathogen and instead of trying to power through it. So we do see very clear relationships between the immune system working and its effects on our behavior.
Part of the study also involved genomics. Could you explain where that kind of factored in?
Yes. So essentially what had been done in this area before is that people had done research where they looked at the relationship between personality and isolated measures of the immune system. So it might be a measure of how much you had of a particular sort of cell or a particular sort of chemical. And although that work is very important and very interesting, it only gives us part of the picture because it focuses in on one aspect of the immune system. Now, if you think of the immune system as an orchestra, then actually looking at just the string section doesn't really tell you very much about the music that the orchestra is making. The functional genomics, what is very exciting about the work that Steve Cole is doing, is that it allows you to go beyond looking at just one type of cell and say, well, what kind of patterns of signaling are we seeing across cell types to give us an idea of what is the noise that the orchestra is making overall? And so what functional genomics allows us to do is to make this distinction, as we did in our work, between whether we're seeing patterns of immune cell responding that are indicative of a pro-inflammatory immune response versus an antiviral response. And we wouldn't be able to do that without looking at immune cell signaling in this way. We'd have to be looking at huge numbers of immune cells, and we'd have to be challenging those cells with pathogens as well. So it's a really good way of getting a feel for what the immune system would actually be doing in the context of a pathogen, rather than having to make assumptions from single types of cells.
And since our health and our environment, as you rightly point out, are constantly on a feedback loop, how might the immune system also affect the evolution of personality traits such as conscientiousness?
Well, that's the $60 million question. I personally believe that these feedback loops exist. I don't think we have data yet which tell us how these relationships occur throughout our lifetimes, but I think it's almost inevitable that they do exist. So how it happens, I can't tell you. We don't know whether, you know, again, it's this issue of which comes first. Do these patterns of immune cell responding dictate what kind of person you become, or is it your what sort of person that you are that influences your environment that then in turn influences your pattern of immune cell responding? We would have to do studies across the life course in order to answer the question that you've just posed, and I'm afraid we don't have that data yet.
Not yet, anyway.
Not yet.
And also, from what I understand, extroverts would relate to stress differently compared to introverts. Would this research have any impact on, you know, the theories surrounding how stress affects our immune system and our health?
Well, it doesn't as much as, you know, what we're looking at are relationships between enduring traits and our immune system. And the issue is the extent to which those enduring traits determine how we respond to stressful encounters. Now, the thing about stressful encounters is that you're right in saying that people vary in how they respond to them, but I'm not sure that there is terribly good evidence that suggests that extroverts respond better or worse than introverts, for example. And the reason for that is that our response to stressful encounters is determined by a whole range of factors other than personality. So personality may well play a role, but there are other factors such as your coping style, your levels of social support, your background level of mood, other stressors that you might be confronting at that time, all of which could impact on your appraisal of a stressful encounter. So we do see individual differences, but I don't think that what we can say is that extroverts respond more or less or better or worse than any other type of personality, because that's not the case. There are too many other factors that come to bear on how you respond to stress.
And as we move forward with this, with kind of furthering this hypothesis, I suppose, what impact would this have on how we approach diagnosis and treatments according to different personality types?
Right. Well, I think we're a long way away from approaching the issue of diagnosis and treatment according to personality. But I do think that what these data point to or hint at is that it's incredibly important when considering how best to respond to or to manage a condition, that we take the individual into account. It may not be that measuring personality is the right way to take the individual into account, because, as I say, it may not be the most dominant influence. It certainly has a relationship with the immune system, but it may not be the most dominant influence on the immune system. There may be other things that are closer, more proximal to the health event that are much more influential and also easier to change. So I think the key thing is to look at what are the most influential factors and what are the factors that are most amenable to change. And if we did that, so if we treated the person as well as their disease, I think for all areas of medicine and all areas of health, we would end up with much more effective management of health if we looked at both, if we treated the mind and the body. Not a new idea, a very old idea, but we're still a long way away from doing it.
And finally, what further research needs to be done in order to look further or to look more closely at these links between immunity, personality types, and our health?
Well, I think there are a lot. Our study has literally scratched the surface of this particular area. I think there are questions now that have to be answered about the stability of the relationships that we've described, as I've already mentioned. It would be interesting to see whether if we manipulate the environment, what impact that has on immune cell signaling. So how do interventions, psychological or otherwise, impact on our immune cell signaling and in turn on our personality? So those are just some of the areas in which I think we could move forward and explore further.
Thank you very much, Professor. I've been speaking to Professor Kavita Vadara, Professor of Health Psychology and one of the researchers who led a study looking at the links between extroverts and immunity, alongside Steve Cole of UCLA. And we've been discussing that very theory, whether extroverts have better immunity, on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.